Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron. As we speak, are the plans being put in place to eventually move him out of Green Bay? Meanwhile, the Eagles sign a quarterback. It's not the one you're expecting. What does this mean for their draft and everybody else's? And then you will hear why taking this player might be the biggest mistake Bill Belichick could possibly make. All those and much more as we get up with you, starting right now. It's a Wednesday from the Seaport. I am Greeny and delighted you are here as we work our way towards the NFL draft and so much more going in the world of sports. And look who we've put together to talk about it with you today. Tim Hasselbeck is looking a little sunburned down there in Nashville today. Marcus Spears is ready to go. Field Yates and Mel Kiper Jr. as we talk about the draft and much more. And it begins, in fact, with this man, the legend Aaron Rodgers, and his future in Green Bay very much in doubt. This offseason, the Packers have moved under the salary cap without restructuring Rodgers' contract, which currently has the highest cap charge of $37.5 million of any player in the National Football League. But that is only for now. Where does it go from here? Let's go in search of that answer. Rob Domofsky covers the Packers for us so well. He's live with us from Green Bay. Rob, what is the latest with Rodgers and his contract situation with the Packers right now?
Well, good morning, Greeny. We know that they are open to a restructure or a renegotiation, possibly. That was the word that a high-ranking team executive used with me yesterday. Possibly. Now, here's the question, though, Greeny. They had a chance to do something last week, and why didn't they do it? He was due a $6.8 million roster bonus on the third day of the league year, which was Friday. They could have turned that into a signing bonus and prorated it over the rest of the contract, which would have given them salary cap relief. They didn't do it. Why didn't they? Great question. But what we know now is that they paid it, and they can't get that salary cap relief back even if they do something going forward.
So these are a lot of numbers, and I'm sure a lot of fans are wondering, why is this so important? It's important because of what it says about his future in Green Bay, both maybe the way he looks at it and the way they look at it. What can you tell us about the impact all this has on Rodgers' future with the Packers?
That's exactly right. The contract, more than anything, is going to tell us how long Rodgers plays in Green Bay. They can give assurances, which they have. General Manager Brian Gutekunst and Head Coach Matt LaFleur both told us after the season that, hey, he's our guy now and in the foreseeable future. But the reality is this, Greeny. The contract allows them to move on after this coming season if they want to, because that's when they start to pick up salary cap space. What Rodgers wants is assurances that they won't do that.
The word foreseeable is such an interesting one in that. Everyone's got different vision, right? So foreseeable can be 1 year or it can be longer than that. Rob Domofsky, outstanding as always, live from Green Bay. And let me bring in some of the squad here this morning. Marcus and Tim Hasselbeck, I will start with you. As you hear all of this, what is your expectation for what this means with Rodgers and the Packers?
Well, my expectation is that this has kind of set up a situation where Aaron Rodgers, if the Green Bay Packers don't win a Super Bowl this season, is going to be in a situation where he maybe wants to play somewhere else, and the team, you know, wouldn't be, in a brutal cap situation if he was trying to force his way out. And so I think this means that Aaron Rodgers is probably unhappy enough, looking for those assurances, and if he's not getting them and they don't have the type of success that he clearly wants to have this coming season, then we're going to see Aaron Rodgers playing in a different uniform other than a Green Bay Packer uniform.
Which would be jarring, and yet in a world in which Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl in Tampa, this certainly feels very possible. Marcus Spears, what are you hearing here?
Listen, I agree with Tim from Aaron Rodgers' perspective, but I look at this from the Green Bay Packers' perspective too. Aaron Rodgers ain't no spring chicken, man. And I know we all living in this utopia and fantasy land because we see what Tom Brady is doing. But these teams, when quarterbacks get in their 16, 17 year in the league, they have to start looking towards the future. And I understand the contract ramifications and all of those things that have taken place. But we have to stop coming on television talking like every quarterback is going to play for 21 years, 22 years, and lead these franchises to Super Bowls like Tom Brady has done. So look, Aaron Rodgers had a great run in Green Bay. He had a great year last year, MVP. I expect him to play at a very high level this year as well. But to Tim's point, Aaron Rodgers may be looking for greener pastures, but the Green Bay Packers have to protect themselves as well and start planning for the future with a quarterback that's been there that long. Don't be in Pittsburgh's situation. Look around the league, and when you see these older quarterbacks and veterans starting to phase out of franchises and they have nowhere to go, don't leave yourself sitting there, NFL franchises.
That's fair. But that said, I have not heard you say you expect him to be there longer than one more year. Is it your expectation that if they don't win the Super Bowl this coming season, that this will be Rodgers' last year as a Packer?
Well, gee, you know, I thought last year was going to be the last damn year, but it worked out well, and they had a lot of success. I do expect him to look elsewhere if they don't get it done. Remember, Aaron Rodgers has been to NFC championships and couldn't cross that hurdle but one time in his Super Bowl winning season. So, yeah, and then you look at the moves. Like, he lost his center, Corey Linsley. There's a lot of things that are taking place in Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers is looking at the rest of this league and the landscape and saying to himself, I see quarterbacks that have potentially moved on and had a lot of success, and I see guys still playing at a very high level, and I firmly believe he thinks he can still do that too and lead another team to a Super Bowl.
There's no reason to think he couldn't. Peyton Manning did it. Tom Brady has just done it, and maybe Aaron Rodgers will be the next to do it. So the lesson here, the message here is keep a close eye on the contract negotiation in Green Bay and see if it happens. That will be big news. So is this sneaky big news coming out of Philly yesterday. Joe Flacco agreeing to a contract with the Eagles. It's a one-year deal, $3.5 million guaranteed, the opportunity to earn $4 million more in incentives. Now, what does this mean as far as the Eagles and their draft plans? Remember, they only have one quarterback on the roster until this, and that's Jalen Hurts, and they have the sixth pick in the draft, and as you see, Mel Kiper Jr. in his latest mock has them taking the superstar receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, from LSU, which would be awfully nice for any quarterback that they have there. But so does this mean, Mel, again, it is not your expectation, Mel Withersfield Yates as well here today, does this mean, and again, your mock has them taking Chase anyway, right. But the signing of Flacco, does that, in your view, close the door on any possibility that they draft a quarterback at number six?
I didn't think they would even going in before Flacco. When you think about Joe Flacco, why is he an Eagle? Think about the Baltimore Raven connection with the Philadelphia Eagles and Joe Douglas and Joe Flacco, who drafted, where he won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. So there's that always that connection you can always go to when guys are picked up later in their career. So I think for Joe Douglas bringing in a Joe Flacco, you think about what he was doing with the Jets, you know, in terms of the situation there, and then you got the Philadelphia Eagles there, same type of thing, that Raven connection. So I think when you look at backing up Jalen Hurts right now, I don't think he's a threat. I think Jalen's the guy. Get Ja'Marr Chase and go forward with him and help Jalen Hurts and then reassess after the year is over. And I think that's what they will do. I think that influence with the Raven organization in Philadelphia is a factor. I think it's a factor throughout the league, Greeny, and it always is. So Joe Flacco is a good backup. He came in the league the same year Matt Ryan did. And Matt Ryan's still playing great football. Of course, he didn't win a Super Bowl, but Joe Flacco did. But I think it's a good situation to have a Joe Flacco there behind a Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts gets hurt, your season's not over. I think Joe can still play, but I think this is Jalen's team right now. Heck, I thought it was Carson Wentz's team. That didn't work out. But I think if you get Ja'Marr Chase, you help Jalen Hurts, and then you make a decision after this year whether in the 2022 draft you have to maybe think about drafting a young quarterback.
Field, same question to you. Does this mean in your mind that the Eagles are out of the quarterback market at six?
It does not, Greeny, and here's the simple reason why. I agree with everything Mel said, and I'm going to double back to that in just a moment. I just have long believed that if you are convinced a player can be a franchise quarterback, that if he's available at pick six, you have to at least consider it if you're Philadelphia. Now, that being said, all the indications this offseason, from the previous reporting from Mort about the Eagles' sort of plan to build around Jalen Hurts this year, plus the signing of Joe Flacco, which at least gives them a veteran option at the very least, at a relatively modest price, by the way, $3.5 million. There are so many signs that the plan this year is to find ways to make Jalen Hurts better. So I still believe that ultimately the Eagles are going to be in prime position to land one of the best pass catchers in this year's draft. But a quarterback should not be entirely ruled out. And that's just me having seen the league long enough to know that sometimes teams do things that catch us by surprise, even if they should not have caught us by surprise.
All right, so Marcus, I'm putting you on the clock at number six. You're the Eagles, and Justin Fields and Trey Lance are still on the board. It's not what we expect. It's not what happened in Mel Kiper's mock. But let's just live in a world where those guys who are so highly touted are sitting there. Do you take one?
No, G. And I changed my tune after the signing of Flacco, because now you see the veteran presence. Look what all of these teams do with young quarterbacks. They put a veteran in the locker room. They work together, keep that room together for a young quarterback to try to mature and go through this. But let's not get this twisted. Like, I know I want Jalen Hurts to have a lot of success, but what is Philly team going to look like? Like, this, they have so many holes to fill on this football team. And Jalen Hurts, when he starts the first game this year, it will be his fifth game as a pro. So we all talking about we want to evaluate Jalen Hurts and we want to see where he is. And I expect him to do some good things. He's athletic. He's a good football player. He thinks the game at a very high level. But Jalen Hurts is not in a position to have success. The Philadelphia Eagles are bad. That's a bad football team around Jalen Hurts. So we can continue having this conversation about we want to see if Jalen Hurts can become whatever. Jalen Hurts is going to be surrounded by a lot of bad football players starting his fifth game ever in the NFL.
All right, Mel looks like he's going to explode. I got to hold you on that thought, Mel. I promise I will come back to it in a minute. There's other news that I need to get to today, but we will have plenty of time. Mel is with us all morning long, and that's about the best news that I can possibly offer you. Meanwhile, there is this story, and I need to pass along the latest. The number of civil lawsuits alleging sexual assault and inappropriate conduct against Deshaun Watson reached 16 yesterday. His attorney, Rusty Hardin, released a statement claiming his law firm has, quote, strong evidence that one of the suits is false. Hardin also called into question the legitimacy of the other lawsuits. The NFL has stated they are reviewing the matter, while the Texans say they will stay in close contact with the league during the investigation. We will take a very short break as we continue so much more conversation. Mel with us all day. Coming up, with talent that could reshape your franchise, which team needs to get on the phone right now to lock up the number 2 pick in the NFL draft? We're talking about that and this. How does Mac Jones fit into today's NFL? One member of our crew has serious questions. We'll go after the answers as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Disney Plus and the Mighty Ducks Game Changers original series streaming Friday only on Disney Plus. And by Burger King. Mix and match your favorites for just $5. All right, we roll on. One of the really big questions heading into the draft next month, what will the New York Jets do with the number 2 pick, which hinges very much on their plans for quarterback Sam Darnold? Well, listen to newly signed wide receiver Corey Davis when he was asked yesterday who he expects to be throwing him the football.
Did you sign with the Jets believing Sam Darnold will be your starting quarterback in September?
Yeah, that's my understanding. Correct. Obviously, I'm coming in with my understanding that, you know, he's the guy. And, you know, I'm looking forward to playing with him. He's a competitor. And, you know, obviously we can both learn from each other.
Well, isn't that interesting? That is not exactly what we were expecting. Again, Field, Mel, and Marcus, I'm starting with you. Mel, you have been advocating for the Jets to stick with Sam Darnold, but in your mock draft, you project them to take Zach Wilson out of BYU at number two. So what do you make of what Corey Davis just said?
Well, I think you look at it, and it's a mock draft. It's not what I would do. It's what I think Joe Douglas and the Jets will do. And I think when you look at this situation, this is a career maker, career breaker, franchise maker, franchise breaker. This is a decision that's going to have ripple effects moving forward and determine the success or failure of this organization. And I think when you look at it and say, well, it's easier to take Zach Wilson, move on from Sam Darnold and this and that. Well, no. I think if you keep Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson goes somewhere else, and then you're able to draft Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle, moving down and collecting maybe extra choices in the process. So for me, I think Darnold, they know him better than anybody else. They don't know Zach Wilson yet. I don't get the whole Sam Darnold thing. If you look at Sam Darnold, guys, the last part of each season, going back to his rookie year, last four games, he was 6 touchdowns, 1 pick. Last year, in last 5 games, 6 touchdowns, 3 picks. In 2019, last 9 games, 14 touchdowns, 5 picks. So this notion that Sam Darnold's been a disaster isn't accurate. He hasn't had much around him. Had the mono, then he had the shoulder. And if you really look at late in the year, in all 3 seasons, he's done pretty well, and he's kind of righted the ship. Now you surround him by better talent. That starts with a Kyle Pitts, if you can get him, by moving down, or a 2, rather than going with a quarterback you know nothing about. So for me, I would go Darnold. Do I think what the league's telling me is they may take Zach Wilson? That's why in a mock draft, I left Zach Wilson there to the New York Jets.
So Field Gates, do you feel as you hear Corey Davis talking like he is telling you what he knows and thus what the Jets are planning to do?
Yeah, Greeny, first of all, I kind of wanted to ask you the question, like what your take was when you heard that Corey Davis was under the impression that Sam Darnold was going to be the Jets starting quarterback. But more seriously, I think this. I don't think that this is something that guarantees Sam Darnold is the starting quarterback by any means, right? I mean, the Jets, when they're making their free agency pitches, have to paint a semi-clear picture to the prospective players of who might be under center. And right now, Sam Darnold is under contract, but I would not be getting more comfortable if I am Sam Darnold. I hear Mel, him and I talk about this basically every Tuesday on the First Draft podcast about how basically, the circumstances have been working against Sam Darnold as opposed to in favor of Sam Darnold during his first 3 seasons. But the biggest element that's in play here to me is time, is that Sam Darnold is 1 year away from potentially making $18+ million on a 5th-year option, which would be guaranteed, or potentially having a contract extension in hand. I don't think you can give him that if you're the Jets right now. I think the finances play a huge role in this. I'm in favor of resetting the clock by drafting a quarterback number 2 overall.
So, Marcus, if they do what Corey Davis is talking about them doing, then it would seem that the 2nd pick of the draft would be up for grabs or available in a trade. Who should be on the phone with them right now? Who should not let Joe Douglas off the phone until they trade for the 2nd pick?
Oh, man, it is the teams behind them that wants to come up. Obviously, you look at the Falcons, they may want to come up. You look at any of those teams that's thinking about QBs. The Patriots, with all they've done in the offseason, should be on the phone as well. But when you look at what Mel and what Phil just said, like, you're going to reach out. Obviously, teams are talking to everybody, and Mel knows that as well as anybody with how these teams want to operate. But I'm in the same vein, like, build around Sam Darnold. Mel talked about Sam Darnold having mono and talked about his shoulder. He also had another damn ailment by the name of Adam Gase. And I'm not going to judge him because he was with an incompetent coaching staff, period. So look, when we start talking about these quarterbacks, especially Sam Darnold, we have to remind ourselves the conditions and the culture that Sam Darnold was trying to be a good quarterback under. Give him an opportunity to show under a competent coaching staff, we hope, if he can have success or not. And $18 million ain't a lot of money, Phil. They can pay that.
And then, but first of all, what you're saying there, I agree with what, regardless of what they do, whether he gets to rehabilitate in New York or someplace else, I think you're 100% right. Now, let me go to another quarterback that we're talking about. Yesterday was the pro day at Alabama for Mac Jones, who figures to be a first-round pick this year, almost for certain, and the 5th quarterback probably taken. He threw 50 passes yesterday, a variety of short, intermediate, deep, throws on the run, throws under pressure, naturally completed most of them. And generally speaking, these pro days are set up for these guys to look good. But Tim Hasselbeck, I know that you have some concerns here, and you've got some tape to show us to illustrate what your concerns are.
Yeah, and to be clear, Mac Jones is a good prospect, has a lot of good stuff on tape, but we're talking about him maybe being a top 10 pick or a top 15 pick, and I just believe that there are athletic deficiencies in his game, and I think because of that, I would be really concerned. Here's a good example. He's a statue. They're running a post-corner combination here, and he gets stuck holding this, and you just watch it. This is four hitches in the pocket. He's a statue. You know exactly where to find him, and that's a problem, I think, going forward. Here's another example against Florida, moving to his left. This ball should come out on the move to the receiver in the slot that's running through traffic on the pick route. But for whatever reason, he wants to flip his hips, and I think this is where you kind of see the lack of athleticism. It should be thrown on the move to his left on the run. But instead, he's not comfortable doing it, so he wants to flip and set up. He's late, balls high. Similar situation against Auburn here. Coming off of the play action fake, it's a double post combination. Should read this inside out. The inside post is a touchdown, but he skips it. So now he gets stuck holding the ball, and the ability to escape and create just isn't there the way it is with other quarterbacks. I will say this. The game has changed. Yes, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl, but he came into the league in a different generation. It used to be a cherry on top when the quarterback could run. I believe now it is a prerequisite if you're going to be drafted in the first round that the quarterback can be involved in the run game because of what it does in your number count. So I just look at Mac Jones. He's a good prospect, but to be in kind of the elite of the elite, it's not there for me because I think there are athletic deficiencies.
Mel?
You know, I got what Tim's saying, but I just think with Tom Brady, he still proved you can win doing that at age 43 as Drew Brees did, Tim. So I think to say they're dinosaurs is basically what you're saying, that you can't win with a quarterback like that. Brady and Brees have proved that wrong at the end of their careers, basically, for Brees, and Tom's still playing at a high level. But I think you look at Mac Jones, I get it. The talent around him was spectacular. What I credit Mac Jones with is, after Jalen Waddle got hurt, and he didn't have Judy and Ruggs, they were in the NFL, he still was putting up big numbers, and he didn't miss many opportunities. Over 77% completion percentage against a quality schedule means something. And I think when you look at Mac, I get it. There's a, we do a bust factor thing, and there's a bust issue with Mac Jones for obvious reasons. Only 17 starts, great talent around him. As you said, Tim, limitations. But he didn't run 4.83. Brady ran 5.2, so he's a lot faster than Tom was when he came out of Michigan. But to the point about Mac, I get it. There is some risk there taking him that high when he was a fifth round pick going into the year, as Joe Burrow was going into his final campaign. But I think when you look at, is he a dinosaur? I'm not buying that right now.
Okay, I got to hold this thought a minute. I'm going to come back to it because there's so much more to be said, and it's a hugely important question for teams in the NFL. We'll come back to that as we continue, and we'll get to this. Russell Wilson's agent sharing a wish list of places he'd like to go as teams get tired of waiting. Has he run out of spots? We'll get to that next. Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and all things considered, the most important thing that happened during this NFL offseason was Russell Wilson's agent giving Adam Schefter, on the record, a list of four teams he would be willing to be traded to. But look, we can start crossing them off the list. The Cowboys did a four-year deal with Dak. Forget about Dallas. He's obviously not going there. In New Orleans, the Saints, they bought back Jameis Winston for a good contract this coming season, and they're bringing back Taysom Hill. So at this point, it feels like you can cross New Orleans off the list. The Raiders, well, Mike Mayock gave a ringing endorsement to their quarterback, Derek Carr, who just had the highest QBR of his career this past season. You might want to take Las Vegas off the list. And then Chicago, we all saw what happened there. They feel like they've given up on this, and they sign Andy Dalton to a $10 million contract. So where does this leave us? And more importantly, where does it leave leave Russell Wilson if he continues to want to be traded. As we continue here on Get Up, we got Field, we got Mel, we got Marcus and more. Field, does this mean Russell Wilson is stuck, if you will, staying in Seattle?
Now, I'm not convinced that he is 100% back in Seattle next year as of right now, Greeny. And I think part of the reason why is that the draft was always the most logical time for a deal to potentially be made for Russell Wilson, because the reality for Seattle is it's going to have to be an incredible offer for them to trade away Russell Wilson, given his ability, what he's meant to the franchise, and also the financial side of it. But it's going to most likely only happen if it's a deal rich with draft picks. And of course, the draft hasn't taken place yet. I don't think Seattle would have been motivated by a deal that was made up of high-priced veteran players, because it's hard to afford all of those players when you would potentially be taking a $39 million dead cap charge for Russell Wilson. So not guaranteeing a trade, but I'm also not ruling it out just because three of the four suitors have at least presumably solved their quarterback situation by investing or reinvesting in a player this offseason.
And so, Marcus, if you're going to do it, if you're Seattle and you're going to trade Russell Wilson, what do you have to get back? What do you need to hear on the other end of the phone in order to give this serious consideration?
First and foremost, G, I don't even care about the draft picks. Obviously, they're important, but you better damn sure get a starter at quarterback, right? Seattle doesn't want to be in a situation where they trade one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and not get a guy that they can at least see and have evaluated to see if he can have success on their football team. Like, this is, and what comes to mind for me, obviously, is the Jets, which I don't think they should get rid of Sam Darnold. But if you bring Russell Wilson into the fold, that's different. And Miami, young quarterback with Tua, who I think is going to develop and be a really good quarterback. And maybe that is something Pete Carroll may entertain as well. Pete Carroll is still of the old school. Pete Carroll wants to have a balanced offense. He wants to run the football. He has Lockett and DK Metcalf on the outside. So those are weapons that can dominate football games. But this is not a situation where you're going to just throw three draft picks and some, you know, some good linebacker or some good safety and get Russell Wilson. Seattle is not in that position. And something else that wasn't playing that I was intrigued by, I know Derek Carr got the talk up from Mayock, but Mayock would talk up Russell Wilson a lot more than he would Derek Carr. So I wouldn't eliminate the Las Vegas Raiders at this point. And Derek Carr is a good enough starter that I think Pete Carroll would entertain.
It's worth considering, but they don't have those high draft picks that some of the other teams that we're talking about do. Mel, what do you think of all of this? Russell Wilson possibly getting traded.
Yeah, I'm listening to all of it. I get back to Sam Darnold. I had Josh Allen ahead of Sam Darnold, but I do like Sam Darnold an awful lot. And I think if you're talking about connections, like about Joe Douglas, Joe Flacco, right? Philadelphia, Joe Flacco now. And you think about Pete Carroll, USC, Sam Darnold. And I think that's what I would look at if I'm the Seattle Seahawks, is Sam Darnold as a possibility to bring out there. If I'm going to move on from Russell Wilson, and he's still relatively young, I got to get somebody I really like and I believe in. Let's face it, guys, you don't get somebody from somewhere else because they're not a little broken, okay? One man's trash is another man's treasure. Why is Carson Wentz in Indianapolis? Because he was a little broken. Or he wouldn't be with Frank, right? And they wouldn't be celebrating that move because they wouldn't get him. So you only get somebody when it's a contractual situation. People would say, well, they were looking at Josh Allen. They were at Josh Allen's pro day, Seattle was, a few years ago, right? So maybe they've been thinking about this for a while, how we're going to do this. We got Russell Wilson cheap for all those years. It's a third-round pick. Now you got to pay him. That affects your roster and the ability to spend for other players. But I'm on Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, if they want to move on Sam Darnold, somebody else. And the National Football League is going to get a really good young quarterback.
All right, it's fascinating to see how this goes. And for a player who has struggled as much as he has, albeit with all of the extenuating circumstances, he finds himself in the middle of a lot of big conversations.
Yeah, put him in this draft, Granny. Put him in this draft to be the second pick overall.
He would be the second pick right now ahead of Zach Wilson.
Yes.
Fascinating. Again, Mel's been saying it left and right. Now let's talk about another guy who is in this draft, and that's Mac Jones. He is not the second pick. He's probably the fifth quarterback in this draft. But as we showed you a moment ago, his first pro day was yesterday. There's going to be another one in a week. He threw 50 balls yesterday, and as is usually the case, these guys look great in this. And he had one of the greatest seasons, at least statistically, in college football history last year with a great team around him. And Mel Kiper, as we showed you yesterday, in the new mock draft 3.0, has him going number 15 overall to the New England Patriots. And there is that connection there between Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, who was Mac Jones' coach in college. But if you're just joining us, Tim Hasselbeck just did a fabulous film breakdown showing you where some of the athletic deficiencies come in. What you're going to hear about Mac Jones is he doesn't have the level of athleticism to make plays with his legs, which is very much in vogue in the NFL right now. Marcus, I'm coming to you. How big a factor is that? Is that a disqualifier, an inability to make plays when everything else goes wrong with your feet? Is that a disqualifier for you for a quarterback in the first round?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm not falling into that vein. And look, I love these athletic quarterbacks and being able to move side to side. Mac Jones will learn how to navigate a pocket. He'll learn when to take off. I saw Tim, and when he was talking about Mac and his deficiencies, don't hold on to the ball. Scramble and get 7 to 8 yards and move on to the next play. He'll learn those things going forward. But what did – let me ask you guys a question, because we knocking Mac Jones, and I understand that it was 1 year and it's at Alabama. Matter of fact, let me remind everybody, it was at Alabama. Nick Saban is the head coach at Alabama. If Mac Jones wasn't a good quarterback or he didn't think he could facilitate the success that they had this year, he wouldn't have been the starter, number one, because they also recruited the number one quarterback in the country coming out of high school the previous year, and Mac fended that off. And look, I get it. I understand. We're talking about Zach Wilson with the strength, his arm strength, athletic ability, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence. Mac Jones gets lost in this shuffle. But turn the tape on, take away the names and the faces, and just watch the tape. And Mac Jones has a hard argument to be the first person taken in this draft. When you look at his production, how he maneuvered, and how he got everybody involved in this offense. I'm not saying he's better than Trevor Lawrence, better than Justin Fields. But if we were doing a blind evaluation, Mac Jones would be talked about very highly outside of just talking about his athleticism based on the season he put together.
The numbers speak for themselves. But Tim, I mean, you showed the tape that you showed. What is your response?
Yeah, well, so I've watched it with the names off the jerseys, kind of with that in mind. When you throw a bubble screen, you know, that's not even blocked correctly against Notre Dame, and it goes 35 yards, you know, for a touchdown. Look, that's a different environment. Like, I would argue that, you know, if you put Mac Jones on, you know, Syracuse's football team, like, what bowl game are they going to? But I would tell you that if you put Justin Fields on that team, he'd have made them a heck of a lot better. Listen, the game has changed. Like, listen, I love the drop back passer as much as anybody. But the game has changed. Hembo gave me this great stat. You know, quarterbacks rushed for 9,500 yards last year. 9,500 yards. That's over a 50% increase from just 5 years ago. Like, name me the good, promising young quarterback that cannot be involved in the quarterback run game. I don't believe that there is one. And that doesn't mean that Mac Jones can't be a good player. It just means the game has changed. And if you're going to draft somebody kind of in the elite of the elite, which is what I believe the first round is reserved for, then they should check the boxes that need to be checked. And so, look, that to me is why I would feel very uncomfortable with it in the first round.
Let me get Mel in here. Go ahead, Mel.
Yeah, I think that's why. And I'm looking and listening to Tim, and I respect everything you're saying, Tim. You played in this league. Tom Brady was a late sixth round pick, 199, because of all the things you're saying. That he was at Michigan, he couldn't do this. He put a lot of pressure on the line. He ran a 5'2", 240, had no athletic ability. And Giovanni Carmazzi at Hofstra had so much more talent. And Spurgeon went at Southwest Texas State, had so much talent, and went ahead of Tom Brady. Peyton Manning was in this room with me and said, that's why everybody were criticizing me, saying if my name was Peyton Jones, I'd be a third round pick. I can't move. I'm as good as I'm ever going to get. And here I am, 22 years of age. So I think all these quarterbacks that aren't the dual threat, like Peyton Manning was not, like Tom Brady was not, Drew Brees not, are all going to have critics. I get that. And Tim, you remind me of John Gruden. I used to go down with John Gruden and down to Tampa in April, and he always set me up. He'd say, okay, Kuiper, you like this guy? He's put up 5 bad plays. You don't like this guy? Put up 5 great plays. You can cherry pick those plays. And Tim, yeah, you set everybody up to show Mac Jones at his worst, but I can show you Mac Jones at his best in a lot of games, like that national championship game when he made a key play in the third quarter manipulating the pocket.
But I'm going to come back to this. I know. Listen, I say that all the time.
If we had 30 minutes, yeah, 30 minutes, we could. I'm not saying he's a bad prospect. That's not what I'm saying at all. But right. I'm saying the first round is reserved for guys that are checking all of these boxes. Look, we showed 3 good plays to Trey Lance. It doesn't mean he doesn't have bad plays. My thing is this. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, that's 20 years ago. It's a different game.
And sometimes
Super Bowl this year, Tim.
Those are the exceptions. Oh, let me leave it there. I promise you I'm coming back to this. I promise I'm coming back. The bump is rolling whether we're ready or not. The Patriots have dominated free agency. But some still believe there's a question at QB. Do we have the answer? Sure we do. Next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Saturday, it is UFC 260 in Vegas with Stipe Miocic defending his title against Francis Ngannou in the heavyweight main event at 10 Eastern. To order the main card in English and Spanish on pay-per-view, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Prelims start 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN+. What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
On what has already been a spirited morning with us here on Get Up, it is time now for Swagoo Says. You'll hear what people said, and then you will hear Swagoo tell you what they actually meant. It begins with Colts head coach Frank Reich reuniting now with his former Philly quarterback Carson Wentz. And here's what he recently said about how it all came together. He said, I think Chris and I, the GM Chris Ballard, were thinking somehow we were going to figure out how we were going to be able to draft the quarterback of our future. And then this thing came with Carson and it fell into our laps. And so, yeah, there's no doubt we feel Carson can be the long-term answer. That's what Frank Reich said. What does Swagoo say?
Well, Frank Reich to the American people said, I'm so glad Carson Wentz forgot how to play football in 2020 because it helped facilitate him coming back to me in Indy and giving us a quarterback that I think I can rehabilitate and we can be a very good team. So playing sometimes work when it looks absolutely devastating. We all plan for Carson Wentz to have a great year. But Frank Reich is just saying thank you to Carson Wentz for absolutely forgetting how to play the quarterback position in 2020.
Something about that that makes me laugh. I don't know why. All right, next one. Alabama wide receiver and draft prospect Devontae Smith, Heisman Trophy winner, awesome, revealed that he weighs 170 pounds right now. Earlier this week, he addressed other people's concerns about his size at the next level. Here's what he said.
I feel like it's not going to be no different in college. I mean, I played against some of the best in college. I mean, I played in the SEC. I feel like it's the toughest conference it is. So, I mean, like, I know a lot of people that's bigger than me that have more problems than me, so I'm not worried about it at all.
All right, so that's what Devontae says. What does Swagoo say?
Gee, this is the age-old cliche. It's not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's about the size of the fight in the dog. And Devontae Smith is from Louisiana, so I know the way he's built. I know what he's thinking, too. He didn't want to call any guys out. But to his point, there have been a lot of 6'3", 220-pound wide receivers, 215-pound wide receivers that have absolutely sucked, and we have not seen them play in the league anymore. Devontae Smith is saying, I'm not going to be one of those guys. I've already played against the DBs I'm going to see in the NFL, so I'm going to torch them too like I torched the dudes in the SEC this year.
You're making me laugh all morning long here, Swagoo. Okay, I wanted to end on this one because this was something that a lot of us saw and we really liked. We're going to make it meanwhile on Planet Earth, which is brought to you by our friends at Whole Foods Market. And it is this. Someone named Cody tweeted this picture at you and said, recognize this newest jersey in my Cowboys collection. Excited to have this one and hope to have you sign it one day. That's what Cody said. What does Swagoo say?
I just tell Cody, good looking out, man. I made a few plays when I was in Dallas, but I'm pretty sure you know me better now from television. Obviously, I'm going to sign it for you, Cody, if I get to you or if you send it at some undisclosed address and I'll send it back. But shout out to Cody for getting the jersey, man. 96, we did it, mama, we made it. That jersey is worth something because I played in it in the NFL and I was able to buy my mama a damn house because of number 96. Thank you, Cody.
I love it. We are going to do something here. That just got my idea. I want all the guys who are on this show regularly, I want jerseys from everybody. We'll put them up in the studio, and that will be awesome. Okay, that's Swagoo says, and it's fabulous. All right, next up. After re-signing this offseason with the Patriots, Cam Newton is looking to rebound from what was a disappointing 2020. He's back with a one-year deal that could be worth up to almost $14 million. His new teammate, receiver Kendrick Bourne, has confidence that Cam is going to bounce back.
I think he's going to ball out, you know, with the weapons they brought in, the help now. And, you know, it was just one of those rebuilding years that they went through and stuff like that. And he was a part of it. So people may say he not looked this good. He looked bad or whatever it may be. But now he has some help and they know what they're putting around him, which is awesome. So I just want to be a part of, you know, 5 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns for me and change the narrative.
All right, bring the crew back in here. Tim, he thinks he's going to ball out. I will ask you this question. Is Cam Newton going to ball out in New England this fall?
Well, listen, he thinks he's going to catch 10 touchdown passes alone, him alone. Cam threw 8 last year. Look, here's the deal. The internal perception from players of who Cam Newton is a player is really high, much higher than the outside perception. There is so much respect for what Cam has accomplished and just his ability. He's impressive. Like when you're near him, when you work out with him, guys are impressed by him. And so I think that's where the optimism comes from. Do I think that Cam was ever going to get back to the 2015 Cam? No, I don't. Do I think it'll be a little bit better than it was a year ago in New England? Probably so. But this idea that guys are flocking there because of him, I understand why. I don't think that the results are going to be there for Kendrick Bourne, though.
Marcus Spears, is Cam Newton going to ball out this fall?
Cam Newton played better than last year, but balling out in my definition is when you are up top, towards the top of the league as far as being at your position. I don't think Cam will be there. Now, I hope I'm wrong because I would love to see Cam have success in New England, especially with this team around him. But based on last year, I can't say that. And look, people talked about Cam's athleticism and the things that he did that were successful. I watched Cam throw the football terribly last year with his arm, which gave me a lot of concern. So it's some things that he needs to do to prove that he's the guy. At least he can return to form good enough, because this team around him now, based on what Bill Belichick did in this offseason, is going to be damn good. The New England Patriots want to be a balanced football team. Cam has to play a lot better than he did last year. So based off last year, I'm not about to tell you Cam about to ball out when somebody throw 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. I'm going to wait and see. Hopefully it's better. He has better weapons, 2 tight end system. They'll have a run game. Things will be more conducive. It'll be a climate that Cam should be able to have success in. But Cam is going to have to throw the ball at a consistency high level for me to tell you he's going to ball out. He didn't do that last year.
So, Field, let me actually change the question. Do you believe it is even a foregone conclusion that Cam is the starter there week one?
I'm feeling like I don't want to be too declarative on any of the questions you're asking so far today, Greeny. I think it's the overwhelmingly likeliest scenario that Cam Newton is the Patriots' week one starter. But depending on how the draft shakes out, if somehow one of these really gifted quarterbacks either slides to the Patriots or the Patriots, a much more likely scenario, move up the board to grab one of these players, like if Trey Lance, I don't know, we're playing a lot of hypotheticals here, becomes a New England Patriot, he's just talented enough that nothing is off the table. And sometimes we got to follow the money here, right? Cam Newton's contract contains $3.5 million guaranteed. That's less than Jacoby Brissett to back up Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. I think Cam's the guy, but I'm not putting it in Sharpie as of yet.
And a reminder, Mel has them taking Max Jones in his mock draft at number 15. If Jones is there, that would be another question that we will see. All right, guys, coming back to you on that in a moment. Let me run the floor through some of the really good women's NCAA tournament action from yesterday. And it's led by freshman Iowa star Caitlin Clark. She outscored Kentucky all by herself in the first half. as Iowa cruised into the Sweet 16 with an eventual 14-point win. She led the nation in scoring this year. She finished with 35 last night, a record for most points by a Hawkeye in the NCAA Women's Tournament. Elsewhere, for the first time in school history, Michigan's women's basketball is headed to the Sweet 16. They used a pivotal 22-5 run in 11-plus minutes of game time to lead to a 15-point win over Tennessee. Actually, yesterday, all four number one seeds in the women's tournament, NC State, Stanford, South Carolina, and UConn, all advanced to the Sweet 16. For UConn, it's their 27th straight Sweet 16, which ties Tennessee for the longest stretch in NCAA tournament history. Coming up, the Packers do not restructure Aaron Rodgers. What exactly does that mean? Maybe a lot more than you think. We'll explain next. Get up on ESPN.